It's all right. But just understanding, not forsaking it, right? So here in Hebrews, the author is writing and saying, don't forsake it, because it is a special and a cherished thing. I mean, one of the things that I was never taught to do or never really heard much about when I was a kid growing up is, what's the point of church membership? Like, what is the point? Is it something that is special? Is it something to be cherished? Or is it just something I do so I can say I'm an official member somewhere and I can vote, right? But understanding, regularly attending the church worship services and the gathering of the body of believers. So many times you hear within church membership, it's, well, I'm a member there because I want to be actively involved in that particular community of believers. It's a very simple thing, but one of the primary things that we see as responsibilities of church members is actually it's attending regularly. There's a regular attendance, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We had some of the church membership books that were in the back, and they were all gone last week, as Tony pointed out to me. If you had one and brought it back, there's three more that are still there if you'd like to take a look at it. Again, I'm not going to preview and go through all of the contents of the book, but I think if you've read it, how many of you guys have looked through that book at all? Okay, were there some good things in the book and kind of...
Yes.
For the record, for the official record, there was a yes. I love it because it goes through being a functioning church member, and it's okay. You reevaluate, okay, am I a functioning member, or am I a participating member, one who is functioning, or am I observing, right? And there's going to be a difference there. Am I a unifying member, or am I one that's creating disunity? One of the things that I'm always encouraged with in our particular situation is there hasn't been a bunch of like disunity or anything stirred up that I'm presently aware of. If you're aware of it, we can please talk to me afterwards. But I'm incredibly encouraged with the unity that our local church body has. And in a time of pastoral transition and all the different situations, this is the time that it should have already been coming out, right? Some of you have witnessed this before, whether here or in another church. All of these different situations, you see it, and people seek to create this disunity and go their own way. And this is why I'm always incredibly encouraged with being here and continuing everything that we're doing, is like having an actual unified body, the way that God has called us to be, and actually seeing people that strive to do that is an incredible encouragement. And it should make all of us confident in what's happening. A critical aspect is the foundation for the promoting of love and good works and encouragement. We see that in verse 24, provoking unto love and to good works, right? We're meant to, again, within this unity, to be provoking or promoting and encouraging one another to do good works. And this isn't because it's works-based salvation, works-based righteousness, but we are called to promote this love and to these good works. So we see one of the four things being attending regularly. The second one, pretty simple, and I think it would be hard to disagree with this, is preserve the gospel. One of the main responsibilities of the member of any local church, whether Baptist, Presbyterian, Wesleyan, whatever it is to preserve the gospel. Flip over to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. In a sense, we could probably have any passage to look at here as responsibly preserving the gospel. But looking in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul is writing to them and he says, I am amazed, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So we're seeing him as he's writing this, that he's amazed that you'd be removed from this gospel and going to another. We have something that is so beautiful and something that is so meant to be cherished in the message of the gospel. And one of our primary things, and again, these aren't in a particular order, because preserving the gospel is certainly more important than attending regularly. So don't think this is an orderly list. Preserving the gospel. What are we doing individually as church members, which so many of us are, in an effort to preserve the gospel, not just in the Sunday morning worship services here, but in your business, and in your work, and in your home, and in your fellowship with other people? What are the ways that we are preserving the message of the gospel in that way? And he ends it, being removed from that gospel, and being in the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Nothing but this true gospel, right? Anything else is an idol. Anything else is a lie. So understanding attending regularly as a responsibility and preserving the gospel as well. The third one, this is one that we mentioned a lot in the past 2 weeks, building up other members. I don't want to overlook this just because we've mentioned it before. Building up other members. We have, if any of you, again, if you've looked through the prayer prompter for this week or you've had conversations with other people, we need building up within the body, whether it's for prayer, whether it's just for encouragement, whether it's building up of one another and going out and going door to door and doing different ministry related activities, doing things together, building up one another in the faith, doing a Bible study together. Again, the list is pretty exhaustive in ways that we can build one another up, but doing so in Christ. You don't have to turn there, but the Ephesians 4 passage, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We need every part, every member, every gift, everyone actively engaged with one another for the building up. Imagine having certain parts missing. If we're missing certain parts of our body, we're not going to be as complete a body as we are supposed to be. There are some that have gifts in ways that the others absolutely need for the encouragement, for the building up of the body. So we see attending regularly. There's preserving of the gospel, building up of other members. The edification, I kind of want to do a word study on that, on edify, and especially within the church context, to see how many times it's used. But so often it's the overarching principle of what the church is doing within itself. And number four, kind of alluded to it already. This will just be the last one, but sharing the gospel with other people. Yes, the church can be contained. Yes, the church and the morning worship services and the preaching and the worship that goes on, yes, that is for believers. And I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. There'll probably be some disagreement in certain areas. There may be some within here. But preaching on a Sunday morning, right, it's for the equipping of the saints and the building up of the church. But this is not meant for us to only ever be a church that builds up one another and is satisfied without ever reaching out. There is still a call to go out. And we've used the illustration of the body. What does an arm do? An arm can reach out, right? So let's make sure we have some arms that are reaching out. But again, for the arms to reach out, all of the organs, all the other parts of the body have to be properly fed and nourished so that the arms can be effective. Right? You can't just have a church that is only discipleship of those that are already here and never going out and sharing the gospel. But you also can't have a church that's only ever going outside and has no desire to move anyone past an infancy of Christianity or of faith. And this is where finding the balance as a church is very difficult, because so many times churches tend to fall in one or the other extreme. So understanding as church members, we have the responsibility to make sure that we aren't forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. There is something so incredible about the unity of being with one another. There's something that should be special about it, that the love that we have for one another should exceed that other people show. Preserving the gospel. And think within yourself, as a member of a church, is every day that you come to a gathering of the people, is it, and even in your whole life, do you have a goal of preserving the message of the gospel? Because I think that many of us would say yes, but keeping that in the forefront of our mind goes a long way. The third one being building up of other members, again, kind of spoken at that at length. Build one another up. And in order to do that, we have to actually know each other, right? I know it's incredibly profound. That's why I went to all that schooling, so I could say things like that. To know each other, we have to know each other, right? But it's something that is so often overlooked, and I mentioned it before, there's times that we don't get to have conversations with everybody on a given Sunday. It just doesn't happen, and that's okay. But we can make efforts to know other people. We can make efforts to have different conversations, to ask and to see where people need prayer, where they need encouragement, to getting together outside of just the morning worship time. This is why we're doing the Valentine's banquet, not just because I like to have food and someone has an idea and I say, yeah, if I get to eat, let's do it. Right? But we actually get to be together as believers. And we can also invite other people from outside the church to come to something like that, to see believers showing their love for one another together, but bringing people in and doing some of those things. And it's a Valentine's banquet. There's going to be ridiculous things that happen. You guys agree with that? You guys have been around some of these things. For some reason, they throw me up and make me and my wife sing songs that are dumb. But it's just simply enjoying being together, right? This is where so often we can kind of overcomplicate a lot of things. And just being together, I mean, that kind of cures a lot of things, doesn't it? Just simply being together. And then as well as the seniors party as well, and that's going on. And there's been conversations of wanting to do, some of you are familiar with the dinner for six that have been done in the past. And couples getting together that you may not naturally always be with in your peer group. So you get to go out and you get to see other people. Because I don't want us to kind of section our relationships off into certain groups all the time. Having older with younger and younger with older and all of those different relationships are huge for the church. And I just want to emphasize just one last time is that fourth one there of sharing the gospel with other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. I'll give you a moment to turn there. It's okay. And so Paul is writing to him and says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, and note this, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. As church members, we are ambassadors for Christ. We all know what an ambassador does. It's a representative. It's the one who mediates the message and all of these different things. And just understanding the weight that carries. If I am an ambassador for Christ. And it's very easy to do within our context here of in a Sunday morning and to keep our conversations where we know talking about God and heavenly things or spiritual things can be incredibly easy. Is that fair to say? Doing that here, right? Because it's expected. This is what I say. I'm so happy that I'm a pastor and I work in a church because when conversations come up, naturally people default to when asking a man, right? What's your name? Boom. Second question basically is always, what do you do? As if a man is identified simply by his profession. Well, here's the incredible beauty of my profession. I'm kind of identified by my profession as to what it's linked to. I get to say I am a pastor at a Baptist church. Oh, okay. The sliding into a spiritual conversation from there is incredibly easy. Now, for some of you, you're like, oh man, I don't know, how do I work into this? Or especially like if you're you work for the IRS, you can imagine how awkward. We're tax exempt, so I'm gonna stop it there, but we're not recording, Jamie, don't worry. But just understanding this is so incredible for me. And again, it makes it very easy to be able to say, oh, I'm a pastor and I work at a church. And if they ever ask any other question, I'm able to answer all the questions. But here's the best thing. I get to tell stories of situations or interactions with some of you and say, yeah, one of my friends from church and this, that, or the other, and talking about the teens and different things. But being able to lead in that conversation for me is incredibly, incredibly easy. Again, for some of you, depending on the profession, that may not be it. So I understand the advantage that I hold in doing so, but that is a primary responsibility that all of us have. We are called to be ministers of the gospel. We are ambassadors for Christ. And understanding that that's not just an encouragement, and it's not really a, hey, if you find the time, it is a, this is your responsibility. This is the responsibility that God has given each and every believer in Christ, whether an official member of a local church or not. Those who are in Christ are called to be his ambassadors. Now, does this mean that we need to be having Billy Graham crusades every single day, each and every one of us? No. But ministers of the gospel in your life and in your speech and in your deed as well. But again, just recapping those four things, attending regularly, preserving the gospel, building up other members, and sharing that gospel with other people. Being attached and tied into a local body of believers is an incredible gift because we're not left alone on the journey. We're not left alone to say, I need a community of believers to pray for me, but I have no one to go to. I mean, You can look around the room here and say, these are people that are dedicated to the word, to prayer, to caring for one another, to building up the body of Christ. Utilize each other, right? We've looked at some of the New Testament stories in the early church of people gathering all their possessions, right? Selling it, helping all these people. Why would we think that we're not allowed to work together in what it is that we're trying to do? And I think the more committed that members are to one another and to Christ, the better off we're going to be as a church. And again, people see that, right? Being the church that, wow, everywhere they go, there's a couple of them, they're doing stuff together. I know where they're from. And this really doesn't have anything in my mind. I'm kind of staying a little bit more broad than just our local church here. But for the unbelieving world to see a body of believers doing things together for the gospel, that stands out. Love for one another, that stands out. So I want to encourage us that we can be confident in these things, but in doing it all, we have to be together. And who else would, what a joy it is to actually be together, even if it is me singing a stupid song here and there. But getting together and doing meals, teaching one another how to live, encouraging one another, of young people seeking out an older believer and saying, hey, I want to grow, I want to learn from you. You're spiritually mature, please take me under your wing and train me up in these things. Young men desiring that, and then the older believer, a more mature believer, coming along and saying, I would love to do that. Seeing discipleship happen to where each group is actually seeking out the other. So we would be at this point where I would ask Matt to do his testimony, but again, I'm not going to give that for him. But I just wanted to be an encouragement. I hope that these last 4 weeks have been, hopefully you've learned something. If not, then that's okay too. But I hope it's been good just understanding more of who we are. And again, going from the very beginning, what is our identity? And we are joined to something so much larger than just the small bit that we do here once or twice a week and continuing on. The whole host of believers from the beginning to the end, we are linked to. This is why one of the reasons I like some of the older, the hymns and the songs that are more traditional is because they're linked to churches of centuries past. And it's something I always kind of never really understood when I was younger. I was super big on, hey, it's a new song, it must be better, right? That's me being a teenager. But understanding, man, to sing a worship song about who God is, the same song that they may have been singing as a body of believers in the 1700s or the 1500s or whenever, just the incredible gift that that is, and things that we take for granted that I'm not going to say we're not special, but we're not, right? We're not a special group, but we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves and all being joined in union with Christ. And again, that's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake this time. There are so many people that have died for what it is that we get to do here. We talk a lot about that with military, right? And absolutely we should. But within the church context, there are people that have been martyred and killed for simply the opportunity that we have to do this. There are those who, knowing death was coming, they were preserving the gospel, sharing it with other people, and building up one another, right? Going all the way to the stake, singing hymns, reciting scripture, refusing to recant on their beliefs because they stood for the gospel. And that is something that we look back and are encouraged by today. I've never met any of those people, but what an encouragement it already is. Again, the union that we all have with Christ, continuing to be together. Don't forsake what it is that we have, because we have been given something incredibly special. I know there's been a lot of repetition these past couple weeks, and that's intentional. The more that we say it, the more we remember it, right? But just continue to seek after God, and just it should let it be an encouragement to everyone that in all of our leadership conversations and our meetings that, you know, none of us are really trying to figure out what we think is the best thing. It's all, well, let's look through Scripture and find what it is. It's incredible, especially for me as a young pastor, to have men surrounding me that simply say, well, I might have a preference, but preference doesn't matter. What does God say? What does God have for his church? So as members, we can all be encouraged that the leaders are truly seeking after God and seeking what he has. Again, as a young pastor, that's incredibly overwhelming for me. So we can continue to be encouraged in that. Let's pray, and then we'll go, since 10 minutes becomes 20 every time. But let's pray. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you that that as church members, you've given us responsibilities and that we're able to look in your word and be encouraged and exhorted to not forsake this time that we have together, even a time of prayer and just reading these few verses. And God, we'll never exhaust any of what it is that you've given to us through your word. We'll never exhaust understanding who you are and the depth of your goodness and your grace and your holiness. Father, we are so incredibly thankful for this gift and this time that we have, that though there's different trials and tribulations that come, and even something as small as the various illnesses that happen, and there's some that aren't able to be here today, we thank you that between the sickness and between the weather and any other things that we can come up with, or excuses of being tired and just not wanting to do anything, that so many people, week after week, worldwide, continue to be gathering together with other believers and other saints for preserving of the gospel and to offer up worship to you in the way that you've desired from us. God, I thank you that you continue to build up your church and that it'll be sustained on the breath of your word. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us, whether a leader or a member, that we would all recognize our roles and our responsibilities to edify the body, to build it up, to resemble you. Father, I pray that we would all treasure and have a true affection for your bride, that we would come to love your church as you do. And God, again, I thank you for the men and women of this church that continue to be an encouragement to me personally and to my family and to other members as well. God, we thank you so much that we're not meant to be alone in this walk, but you've given us your spirit, you've given us one another, and we continue to walk together and get closer to you. God, I pray that you would be with us as we continue to go from this place. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was gonna let her do it. No. You guys are dismissed, but if you want to stay and chat, feel free to do that too. It's like when you hear that, can you just stop and...